Good morning. Nice to see each one of you here this morning. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Cornelius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, and he registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Shall we pray? Father, I do thank you for being here this morning. I ask the Holy Spirit to be with the words that are spoken, and may we each receive a blessing from you, Lord. Thank you so much. Amen. Well, I was thinking about this. I was originally going to call my sermon, Why I Hate Christmas. And I started thinking about that, and I didn't think it would look too good on the sign out front. And so I changed the title, What Does Christmas Mean to You? But I still had my 10 reasons why I hate Christmas. You know, you always get these David Letterman type top 10 reasons for. And so this is my top 10 reasons why I hate Christmas. Number 10, although I love Christmas music, I get tired of my favorite radio station playing Christmas music 24/7 from Thanksgiving all the way through Christmas. I don't know if anybody else has that problem or not, but number 9, some people eat Thanksgiving dinner, then spend the rest of the day pointing out newspaper ads, planning their Black Friday shopping spree. Anybody here fall in that category? My daughter-in-law, she can shop. I can't believe how much she can shop. Last Thanksgiving, right after dinner, I don't even think everything was cleaned up yet. And here she was in there with the newspapers, going over all the ads, planning out where she was going to go when. They left our house about 7:30, and we went to bed about 10. And I guess they came back because we never saw them. They were gone again when we got up in the morning, doing all their Black Friday shopping. Couldn't believe it. Number 8, I go to the mall to buy something simple like socks. The store speakers are playing Joy to the World, but the shoppers are fighting over the must-have toy of the year. Any of you see that? Number 7, kids are taught to believe in a fictional fat man that goes around giving them whatever they want. Then what happens to their belief system if they don't get it? It seems there's a song I was listening to this week. It was praising the Christmas tree. Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree. And I thought, what did the Christmas tree ever do for you? Okay, and then Judy's favorite, number 6, the living room must be rearranged to make room for the tree. And she will tell you, I mean, before Thanksgiving, can you please get down the Christmas tree for me? And it would be easier for her to go get it herself than to try to talk me into getting it. I don't think I'm a Scrooge. Number 5, all the ads that tell me what I have to have or what my grandchildren must have. Number 4, people spending money they don't have to buy presents people don't need to impress people that they don't even like. How about that one? Number 3, Christmas spirit seems to have an expiration date of December 26. And my question is, what happens to the needy people the rest of the year? You hear all this push for food baskets, for March of Dimes, with kettles and stuff, and the rest of the year, you don't hear anything about it. Number 2, do any of you experience emotional letdown, maybe even depression, the day after Christmas? Maybe that is why some people don't let themselves get excited about Christmas. And the last one, number 1, Jesus comes to his birthday celebration, but the gifts are for everyone else. No one says, Happy birthday, Jesus. I'm so glad to have you here. Have any of you heard that song, Happy Birthday, Jesus? Our grandchildren sang that a few years ago, and it was a really cute song. Christmas has come so far from what it was originally intended to be, a time to spend with God, a time to look forward to what God has prepared for us to look back on the first Advent and plan for the second Advent. Do we spend time thinking about the second Advent without the first? Without the first, there would not be a second. We need a generation that is willing to stand up and be counted. Are we part of that generation? God wants you and I to stand up and be counted for Him, not just on Christmas, but every day of the year. And in that same vein, if you have noticed, there's been a push to get people to stop saying Merry Christmas, to say Happy Holidays or something. And there's a push to get Christmas out of the malls. They want to sell you everything for Christmas, but they don't want to say Christmas. Have you heard of that? Well, we came across a song. I will not sing it for you. Thank you very much. I will read you the lyrics. I remember when people used to say Merry Christmas to each other. Everybody said Merry Christmas. You know why? Because it wasn't about a religion. It was about a culture we thought was so valuable that we all did it together, even if it disagreed with our religious beliefs. It was good for all instead of just me. Why do people say it now? Happy Holidays. See, I just say Happy Holidays because I don't want to say Christmas, because you don't believe in Christmas, because I don't want to offend you. It's called Christmas with a capital C. I went to a coffee shop to get myself a mocha. The lady at the counter said, Happy Holidays. I said, thanks, lady, it's pretty happy. But there is only one holiday that makes me feel this way. It's called Christmas. What more can I say? It's about the birth of Christ. And you can't take that away. You can call it something else, but that's not what it will be. It's called Christmas with a capital C. God's got a law, and we pretty much destroyed it. We're going to get judged. There's no way to avoid it. But Jesus came down and took the punishment for me. He did it for you too. Now maybe you can see why. It's called Christmas with a capital C. Oh yes, we want to say Happy Holidays because we don't want to leave anybody out. Really, how come there's a ton of holidays in February and nobody says Happy Holidays in February, do they? They say what it is, Valentine's Day. Oh, you believe in love? It's called Christmas. Nobody wants to say Christmas, anything but Christmas. Why? I know why. You too, because it's Christ in it. And after 2,000 years, He is still intimidating people. See, when a religious person says, I'm the way, people don't want to hear it. They don't see it. You got to say Merry Christmas, because that's what it is. You don't believe in it? Fine. I got a flash for you. Christianity happens to be the religious heritage of my country, whether you like it or not. If you're not a Christian, or you don't like it, and you don't want Christmas celebration, I say, God bless you. But let me tell you something. If you think you're going to stop me from saying it because it offends you, I got a flash for you. Get a helmet. It's my country, and it's called Christmas with a capital C. You like that? Thought that was kind of pertinent, what I'm talking about today. And in this same vein, you realize that yesterday the world was supposed to come to an end. We bought some walnuts off of Craigslist. And I don't know how many of you have bought things off of Craigslist, but it's kind of a scary situation. They said, well, we'll meet you at Burger King. Well, they couldn't be there Thursday, so it was yesterday afternoon that they showed up. And so we went out there to get our walnuts. And the lady got out of the car, and she was putting the walnuts in the back of our van. And the husband got out, and he had a shirt that says, Jesus, the only way to heaven. And so Judy commented on that. And so the rest of the time, instead of talking about walnuts, we were talking about Jesus and His soon return. And they were just so pumped. I mean, just, you can't believe how vibrant this couple was and how excited they were about the soon return of Jesus. And he was upset because yesterday the world said the world was coming to an end, and so Jesus couldn't come on that day. They kind of took that one away, and he was kind of mad about that. But it was really neat to talk to him. You know, these people that you want to get to know better. You want to just spend some time with them. And as we are talking about that and thinking about Luke 2, we hear so much about that this time of year. And the last line down there in verse 7, it says, "She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." And as we are approaching the second advent, and we are Adventists, we are Seventh-day Adventists, we believe that Christ is coming soon. Are we on fire about it? Are we willing to tell people about it? Are we willing to share this? Are we excited? It was so neat to see these people yesterday and how excited they were. And I think, where is the excitement that in our church for the Lord's second coming? I see it sometimes in some places, but not nearly as grand as what it could be. I want to spend some time hearing from you what Christmas means to you. We have lots of time, so I'm hoping there's people that will want to spend time and talk about what Christmas means to them. We all think about different presents that we've gotten or specific Christmases that jump out in our memory. I remember my dad spent a lot of money for him, and he had somebody make me a little truck that was probably about this long. He made it out of wood. And I kept that truck for many years. I have no idea whatever happened to it. That was a present that stuck out in my mind that was just so important to me at that time. And if there's anybody that would like to spend some time talking about what Christmas means to them, I'll open the floor at this time. You can either come up here or Denny can bring you a microphone.
I was in Borneo many years ago, and Java is a long ways away, and I was lonesome. It was Christmas time, and I thought, boy, I'm going to get on an airplane and go home. So it was book solid, but I went down and sat at the airport, and they had one seat. I got on that seat, got me as far as Jakarta. Then I had to get from Jakarta to Bandung, and there's only a train, and I went to get my ticket, and they were sold completely out. And I was standing there, and I said, boy, you guys are not going to leave me behind here. So all of the hostesses that serve food in the place come up walking out, and I says, they're going to open the door. And when they open the door, I'm going to be in that train. Well, they opened the door. The door was about this high. And here I am down on my hands and knees climbing in this door. And I got home for Christmas, and it was such a relief to do that, because Borneo's so far away and you're out in the middle of nowhere. I recommend go home for Christmas.
Yeah, there's something about Christmas, isn't there?
I feel that Christmas is like when I was first baptized, the feeling that I got of being brand new and starting over and just trying to live my life for Jesus. I think Christmas is a good time to do that, and that's why I'm here today. One reason I'm here is because of Christ, because of Jesus. And it kind of makes me feel like when I was first baptized, we get to start all over, ask Jesus to forgive us, and try to live that life for Him. And for that reason, for Him coming for us, a reason for even being here. So it kind of reminds me of when I was baptized.
Christ. Well, I agree with what she said. I feel that way too, that renewal. And I also feel like it's a time when the whole, well, I don't know about the whole world, but it's always been in my life that people sort of drop their day-to-day ugly selves for a little bit and allow Christ to come into their hearts and to just sort of drop their guard for just a little bit. Like you were saying, it stops the 26th, and it's so silly that it has to stop, but there's still a sacredness to it, and I'm grateful for that.
Yes, yes.
What's Christmas mean to you?
Well, I think because baby Jesus. Because if there's no baby Jesus, there's no Christmas.
Right. Yes, very important, huh? Very important.
I didn't grow up in a particularly religious family, but it was Easter and Christmas we made church and what have you. But there was one Christmas, I couldn't have been more than about 7 or 8. My father was fairly well off. He had a middle management job at Kaiser Aluminum in Oakland, California. And so our Christmases were full of gifts and food and a big tree. And this one Christmas, a little neighbor boy came over after we had opened all our presents. All he got was a whistle with a little bird on the end that kind of moved around when you blew through the whistle. And I was floored. It broke my heart to see that. I had all this stuff, and this little boy's entire Christmas came down to a little bird on a whistle. And I guess at that moment, I was really struck by the fact that there are people way less fortunate than I in the world. And that gave me a heart for that. And I think of that little boy every year at Christmas time. That was one of my more memorable Christmases.
I understand about the gift over-giving and the overemphasis on that and how that can be a negative. But on the other hand, one of the things I like about Christmas is that you are more motivated to slow down enough to take time to even just send a Christmas card to maybe somebody you don't send one to the whole year. Mm-hmm. And I know that when I get a Christmas card from somebody I knew 15, 20 years ago, and it may have a letter in it or it may not, I still think they remember me and I remember them. And I think that that's really important. And that when we slow down enough to think of others, I think any time we do that, that's a gift from Christ to us, to even want to do that. And if it's only one time a year, then that's better than no time a year.
Right.
It's not as good as more than one time a year. But I just feel that any of that is on the positive side and becoming more like Christ and showing the world more of Christ, even if it is only one time of year. And so I really love Christmas, and I love the reason for the season, and I love the results, not the overindulgence or forgetting of Christ or anything, but I think there are many, many good things about Christmas.
Yeah.
I was remembering about around Christmas time in Honduras when Merla and I were there, and while we were there, we bought a box of apples. And we had so much fun giving apples to different places. And one family, their house was just a cardboard box, just cardboard walls. And it seemed like she had quite a few children there. And we left some apples there, and they seemed so pleased to have apples. And that was back there in Honduras. They didn't have a lot of apples. That was a luxury. And taking them to the orphanage way up in the highlands. And the little orphans were just so happy to have the apples. And we gave them all away. And when we got home, we found that our pastor had to climb the coconut tree to get supper for his children. They had nothing in their house to eat. And here we'd given away all the apples, not even thinking about him. And I thought he was a young pastor. He had a big bill from the college that he went to. I think it was in Costa Rica. And so a lot of his wages had to go back to pay off his bill. And they were left with so very little. And we just weren't aware. And we would love to have given him apples, a food basket or something. And we did give him some things that we had. But we don't know. And I thought how important it is to support our young pastors in some of these foreign countries we don't realize that they do without so often.
I just wanted to say I agree with Sue on what she was saying. I do also appreciate Christmas because it is a time to get in contact with all of our friends and family that maybe we don't talk to very often throughout the year. This also reminded me of all the letters that we've received and cards every year from the missionary friends who we worked with in all these different countries, and what a blessing it is to us. And some of them have passed away already, and some of them had given their whole life to the mission work. And it's just neat to hear what's happening with them. We have one friend who we worked with in Indonesia way back when we worked over there in 1966, and he was our neighbor next door. And he was probably about 10 years older than we were. He's now back in Indonesia teaching Bible at the university there where we worked way back 40-some years ago. His wife's passed away, and he's there all alone. He's asked us to come. Please come back and help me. I need your help. Because we were there helping him redo the whole campus, make it really nice, all new sidewalks and landscape, the whole thing. And he got back over there, and he says, I need your help. It needs a little more work here. And he's doing that besides teaching. So what a blessing some of these people have been to the work and the world. And such a light to everyone around them. And those schools have grown so huge. Most of them have 4,000 or 5,000 students in them now. And they're just beautiful places. It's just amazing how God blesses.
Yes.
As we enjoyed the play and all the adults singing last Sabbath, I went back in time, which I'm accustomed to doing. When I was probably 5-6 years old, we lived out in the country, and part of us know where Hinkle Creek's at, clear past Nonfrail store. Well, we lived pretty close to there, and at that time there was kind of a little community church there, and it was Christmas time, and several of the little people put on a Christmas play, and I was probably, like a lot of you said, a lot of us didn't have a lot of things, and I can remember they dressed us all up, and I don't know who got more of a blessing, us or the adults. But it's nice to go back and remember the good times. And like I said, a lot of us didn't have a lot of things back in those days, but there were good times.
Yes.
We're talking about giving. This is not a Christmas story, but it's a gift story. My niece's daughter was in Chad as a student missionary. She was an assistant to the doctor at the hospital, and she was a runner. She ran every day miles, and the kids ran with her. One little boy kept getting sore feet, so she told the people back in Spokane about it, and they shipped her a great big box of shoes. Well, there was some really nice ones, but somebody that didn't think very straight gave her a pair of Velcro shoes to give to the kids. And she hesitated. She didn't do it. But the family she lived with had 12 children. One boy had just one arm, and he was the kindest little fellow. She said she just didn't know a nicer boy. He was always with the people that were working, and she asked the hostess of the house where she was living, how does he fit in your family? Oh, very well, she said. He fits very well. Well, what I mean is, when was he born? Is he between? Oh, well, we don't know. He just showed up one day and never left. We have no idea who he is. He's been with us for years and stuck to her like glue. And his feet got sore because he wanted to run with her. And then she thought, well, you know, that pair of Velcro shoes, I hated to give them to a child because they're old grandpa shoes. But she brought them out. Oh, he said, you thought of me, the best pair of shoes. Look how I can put them on. You see, that boy only had one arm. Did you ever try to tie a pair of Nike shoes with one hand? He was able to put those Velcro shoes on. The day she left, he ran behind the train till they couldn't see the train.
Wow.
A gift.
Yeah, that's a neat gift.
Well, I can remember, must have been about 9 or 10 years old. We had left Colorado and moved to Alaska, and we were out in the bush. We lived 60 miles due north of Mount McKinley. No electricity, no running water, and the only time you got mail is when somebody would fly into the airstrip and leave it in the little Quonset building that was there that different pilots would take and go by the post office and get the mail and bring it out and leave it there for us. It was just the old man that owned the place or lived there, whatever it was, and us. We were there for a year and a half. But when it come Christmas morning, there wasn't any presents under the tree. Santa Claus forgot us. And that's when I found out really that there wasn't no Santa Claus to speak of. We met him before the next Christmas, but that's a different story. That's when we pretty much learned the most. It's really about Jesus. and that he died for us. It wasn't on Christmas, but they celebrate it then. And so it reminds us of what Christ has done for us. The weather had been bad, and nobody had been able to make it into the airstrip until a week or two after Christmas. And then we got the presents that Mom and Dad had ordered from Spiegel's or Monkey Ward's or Sears or wherever. They finally came in, but not until a plane was able to bring them in. And so I can remember that clearly every Christmas time I think back. And as Steve says, you know, it's good to think back at some of the times of the past and how things have been and just how God has taken care of us and be so thankful. And look around us, and there's a lot of people, even if we don't have much, there's a lot of people that are worse off, like the young pastor that didn't have anything. There's people out there that don't have anything, and we're really blessed.
I really hope there's somebody speaking after me, because this is not a real high, bright, cheery one. Most of you have seen me through the years. I tried hard to make Christmas special for my kids and teach them that it was about giving and not getting. We never gave many gifts, didn't think that was necessary, and discouraged other people from giving them a lot of presents. By the way, they never minded. That was just fine with them. Christmas was about giving. A Christmas where you can't give is probably the saddest thing in the whole world. But when I remember Christmas as a child, I remember one Christmas, a little piece of a Christmas that was happy. But most of the Christmases were, I remember fighting about a present, which one was best between my sister and I. I probably got a lot of my negative for Christmas because Mama had a lot of bad things happen during the holidays. She was divorced numerous times and always for very, very excellent reasons, but that only added and made it worse. One Christmas, she was talking to my grandpa. He said, "Dorothy, you know, it's almost Christmas." And she just sort of looked down. And he says, "You're going to make it through this Christmas. It's going to be a good one. You'll see." And he smiled at her. And she almost had some hope. And a couple days later was Christmas. And my grandfather and grandmother both died in a car accident on their way home from dinner. What I'm saying is there are so many people out here. I see Christmas as the most awesome opportunity of the year. Because, yeah, there are kids who get presents, and there are people who don't have enough money to buy great toys for their kids. But there are also people out there whose hearts are breaking. And as they look around and they see all the joy in everybody else's hearts, their sadness is made so much greater. And I would really, really like for the Lord to give me the opportunity this year to see somebody, to be able to reach out to someone and let them know, this is the greatest time of the year. God gave His Son. He gave His Son for every one of us, for the ones of us who are happy and joyful and have much, and those who are scraping the ground and trying to look up to see bottom. I really, really would like to be a blessing to somebody, because my Savior gave Himself to be a blessing to all of us during this special time.
There's nothing wrong with what you just said. That would be a perfect closing.
Christmas to me is about family traditions and being together with family. Every year we have one present that we open Christmas Eve, and we're always together, and it's always pajamas or a blanket or something that Mom has made. And I don't know what Christmas would be like without that Christmas Eve gift to wear to bed or to use to bed and wake up in the morning to open your stockings. I think Santa just makes Christmas that much more, and I get where people think that having your child believe in Santa isn't okay, but for the boys, Santa's just that extra little thing that makes Christmas that much better. Or a Christmas tree. Christmas trees don't go up at our house till late, because it's more about preparing and getting the excitement for Christmas, for Jesus' birth. I mean, D'Artagnan just told you, Santa's an extra thing, but it's all about Jesus. So I think just every little thing you can make extra to bring that little bit of joy, even not only to the kids, but to the people around you, is more important than complaining about Christmas songs or Santa. Or I think that we need to, even though people are trying to take Jesus out of Christmas, that we need to fight to keep Him in and just be happy and bring joy to everyone else with the birth of Jesus.
Amen. That is fantastic.
When I was 12 years old, I was asked to be Mary in the Sunday school Christmas program. And ever since then, Christmas means to me Jesus coming to this earth as a baby and giving his life for me, that I can have eternal life if I accept him into my heart and my mind. And to me, the spirit of giving is giving of myself to help people, no matter what it is, of what I can do for them. To me, it's not just buying a material thing, but giving my heart to help them feel better.
Amen. O come, Emmanuel. What a song in our heart as we go on through the Christmas season. I pray, Lord, that you will come soon and that we will be ready, that there will be room for you in our hearts, Lord. Thank you. Amen.